Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, brought to you live, unmuted. My very special guest joining me today is going to be talking about archons and demon possession and all these sorts of things. Not because he's like a total expert about it, because I'm just going to force him to, you know. I've got thoughts about this stuff and I need to ask somebody questions, etc. You know, it's part of my grand, evil, you know, secret Masonic scheme, according to some trolls and haters out there, you know. Vinny talks about bad guys, therefore he's a Freemason. I love the logic, right? You know, as if there actually was any logic. Now, I want to remind people that American Freedom Radio is not a charity per se, okay? We're not just giving you this radio. We also ask for you to give back to the network so that we can give a platform for the many, many different views that currently exist out there in the universe that we call the internet. And my goodness, is there a hell of a lot that you don't know. Did you know that they fill libraries with shit that you don't know? Over here at American Freedom Radio, we fill in archives with shit you don't know from people you never heard about, with amazing stuff to learn. You will learn more listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show over a year than you have in the last 20 years of listening to talk radio of other hosts. No shit. My very special guest, Robert Stanley. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Vinny. Nice to be with you again.
Let me just ask you, what have you been recently up to?
Okay, I'm working on a new book. It's called The Malibu Chronicles. And I don't think it's going to play well in Malibu. But I know people want to know this information, okay? So that's why I'm putting it out there. It's essential people know what's going on in that town.
So you're writing a book that puts the boo back into Malibu, right?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm not trying to scare people, but look, here's what I found out. I cover genocide, suicide, murder, and mind control, among many other topics in this book. It's not what most people think of when they think of Malibu, right? And it's important because there's a lot of people that are dead now because they had no idea that that place was an epicenter of evil.
I wonder how unanimous that is as a verdict for people in the in the current workforce.
Of course. Of course. Well, the main industry in Malibu right now is rehab. And what they say, seriously, I mean, this is no joke. Most of the people that go there are obviously very wealthy because it costs $20,000 to $30,000 a month to stay in rehabs there. Very posh. But they all talk about battling their inner demons as though it were something just rattling around in your head like a chemical disorder. And that's missing the point. It's misdiagnosing the problem. They are not internal. These are external entities that are tormenting people, causing them to harm themselves or others. As we've discussed before, the Gnostics called these entities archons. They are mental parasites, and they do prey on people.
Well, and people misunderstand when we say mental parasites. I think there's a parasite that's crazy, and they'd be right, but it's not just that.
No, and it's not like it's in the brain, okay? It's somewhere in our psyche, in that part of us.
Yeah.
Non-physically, okay? Because consciousness is not, as even though some people think this, consciousness is not seated in the brain.
Okay.
It's something else to do with, I think we would loosely call it a soul.
Mm.
It's an energy.
It's a dual part process, right? Because when people think about the soul, for me, it's mostly about interaction with the pineal gland, isn't it? Right? If you don't have interaction with your pineal gland, you're not able to speak to your soul, ergo you're a slave. And so if you drink fluoride, it calcifies the pineal gland and cuts you off from your soul.
True. Okay, so it is transmitted through that, through the physical vehicle at that point. Hmm. I think of it like the internet, okay? Some people are stuck on dial-up. And others have opened up more, and they have a more broadband connection. They have greater bandwidth to connect to the cosmos, which is essentially it's all consciousness.
And some of us have fiber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Some of us even have moral fiber.
Okay. Well, the big question I have to ask you, Vinny, is do you have gender neutral bathrooms in New Zealand yet?
Nope.
Okay, you guys are really primitive. You're way behind the times. We don't have them here in Hong Kong either. And I feel ashamed. Every time I use a man's bathroom, I feel like I'm denying some transgender neutral individual that they're being denied their right to go urinate wherever they feel like it.
Well, wouldn't they just use the disabled? Because they're unable to use the men or the women's totally, honestly.
It's the strangest thing ever. Why is this even an issue? Honestly, I mean, we are so screwed up. Look, the reason I'm bringing that up is because people don't understand how badly we're being manipulated. This is another level of distraction and manipulation that divides people up. It's supposed to bring us together. Well, it's not working, right? Actually, it's the opposite. And that's the intention. That is the intent behind all this insanity.
Well, the other question is, if it's the intent, you understand, and this is something that's come up, and it's interesting that we should be talking with you today, because the last three shows in a row have been about totally different topics that all wound up turning out to be a discussion about psychopaths and psychopathic entities, like, because it's all connected, right?
Yeah,
any major problem, conspiratorial or not, that exists in the world today, there's psychopaths involved generally, right?
Right. And the opposite of the psychopath is somebody who is suffering deeply from these mental parasites. They rob a person from having the ability to be an empath. A psychopath is the opposite of an empath. They cannot feel emotions. The definition of an empath is somebody who actually feels emotions between two people or more. That's normal. That's healthy. A psychopath has no ability to connect on an emotional level with others. They've lost that ability. So it is an illness, okay? But it has been misdiagnosed, I think, by the medical establishment. Now, you're right. People, and I first started talking about this publicly in 2011. That's how we met. But my understanding of it has evolved, and I see that generally speaking, people on this planet, their awareness of it has evolved and it has increased. I mean, the information is coming. I see it all the time now. It's fantastic, I think, because it makes me feel more optimistic. And, you know, people, I'm sure you get email from people, but I'm surprised the level of email I'm getting from people who are asking for assistance or clarification on this matter, which I feel is a very, very healthy sign that people are, they do care. They can handle the truth. They want to know what's going on. And more importantly, they're grateful that this is now, that all of this is being put into the proper context, into something that is authentic. There's no hidden agenda behind what we're talking about. In other words, they know there's a problem. Okay. And they know it needs to be resolved. But unless we accurately diagnose the problem, then we're never going to solve it. And that's a big problem. That's the reason we're having this discussion repeatedly, because it's not solved yet.
No. Right? Not just that, but it's also because of the people who go, oh, don't tell us about the problem. Just tell us about the solution. And then when you explain the solution with them not understanding the problem, right, their solution is meaningless to them. They don't understand how to implement it and or make it work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because it's a little counterintuitive. Most people say, oh, when we just kill them, you know, we should fight back. Well, you can't, because when emotionally, we're talking about consciousness, and emotions are part of that. It's an energy field. It's a field of energy coming out of our entire body through our DNA. And that's what they feed off of, is when we harm ourselves or others, there's a negative energy that's emitted through our DNA that they feed off of. Okay. So they want to piss us off. They want us to attack them, try and attack them or each other. And in the process, that makes them strong, makes us weak.
And the only people, biblically, I was just thinking about this, the whole turning the other cheek thing. Okay, somebody comes up to you and slaps you, and you go, come on, slap the other cheek. Come on, bro. No, yeah. What are you waiting for? And they're just like, he's into it. Like, I'm out of here. Right? Because they can't feed off your pain and your fear. If you keep asking for more and you're more or less indifferent about it, it's really strange. It's a disarmament of their abilities.
Right. That was the only thing that I could agree with about the Christian passion play, was when Christ said, allegedly, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, he was really, again, I don't know if this is true, but one of the things that he did that was phenomenal was go around casting demons out of people. Most people don't get that part. They forget that he allegedly was able to go and see these unclean spirits, right, in people or around people, and cast them away. I mean, this is where the Catholic Church gets the rituals of exorcism. It's from him. They allegedly get the authority to do this from Christ. It's not working too good. The Catholic Church, I would say, has, if I would give them an F grade for, seriously, I mean, it's not funny, really. I mean, recently they tried to do a mass exorcism in Mexico because there's so much murder.
I could just imagine the headline, a mexorcism.
Ah, that's a good one. It didn't work, unfortunately. And if it had, my point is, like, where did you send them? You can't destroy them. Where did you send them? Did they all migrate north? You know, I mean, it's crazy. It doesn't resolve the problem. If it did, we wouldn't be having all these issues that we're having right now.
Yeah. Well, I think what was it I said on the show yesterday? Is Elaine Warren, you know, out of Ed and Elaine Warren, the two biggest paranormal researchers in the States. And she said, you can keep evil at bay so long as you remain vigilant, but it can never truly be destroyed.
Well, not yet. And I think we need some help in this regard. But what I feel is that we have to work on this. First, we have to work on it individually, make ourselves as strong as possible, remain centered. You know, because a balance is always found between two extremes. Okay, so we have to work on being emotionally centered. In order, I say it's important to stay calm, be creative whenever possible, and also to be kind. Those are three things that I suggest are an antidote that people can do. They can do that, and on an individual level. And as far as being kind to others, that is a collective thing. I really feel that people need at some point to on this issue, they are going to start coming together. I'm not sure what the mechanism is going to be, but there is going to reach a tipping point where people are going to organize against these things. I just feel it coming. I really do.
It's really strange because it's very similar to that scene in The Matrix when they talk about you can't, what was it? Men have emptied entire clips at them and hit nothing but air. They're like invulnerable, right?
Right.
But they are holding all the keys to all the doors. And so that means that sooner or later, somebody's going to have to fight them.
Yes.
And even, you know, some brilliant psychiatrists have said, you know, if you want to cure psychopathy, the only cure is a bullet. And it is really strange to even think about life in these terms, because you get into that whole dehumanization element, right? You see that these things, these entities are no longer human, and therefore you can do inhumane things to them. This is where the justification rings out. And this is why I get really frustrated with people in the truth movement talking about, like, well, we've got to start a civil war and all this kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, start a war against the weapons manufacturers. You fuckwit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's like starting a lying war against Obama or something like, I can tell my eyes the new bro. Look, he's just out of your league, son.
Yeah. But what I meant by organizing, Vinny, is that on a completely positive, creative, peaceful way, and essentially starve them out. They'll leave. I mean, I noticed they do this individually. If a person becomes strong and centered, they eventually will leave because they're not getting what they want from us. They have no way of manipulating and getting the food that they need, the energy. So they move on to someone who's weaker and more vulnerable and easily manipulated, and will feed them unaware.
I just thought about this. The brain scans have revealed that they only really use the lower brain stem, the reptilian brain, right? They shut down most of the higher cortex. Now, what activates the reptilian brain? Adrenaline. How do you activate adrenaline? By getting into a fight with somebody. It's not us that they're feeding off. It's the host body that they're inside that's feeding off its adrenal responses. It needs those responses off of other people in order to provoke the adrenal response on its own so it can actually have any energy within that part of the brain.
Right. But it's not so much. Okay. Yes. That's the biological trigger.
I'm just like spitfiring an idea here.
It's good. No, it's good. It's good because as I said before, this is what our bodies are always emitting what they call monochromatic light from our DNA. We don't see it because our eyes, we only see like this much of the known spectrum of infrared and radio wave radiation. Between infrared and ultraviolet, we only see this much, okay? But there's light coming off of us right now, all the time. And when we're injured, this has been proven scientifically, when we're injured, the light frequencies change to something completely different, from positive to negative. That's what they're looking for. That's what they need. And we are like the batteries, you know, for them. In like the movie The Matrix was just a metaphor, in my opinion, but... there is a way, as I said, individually, it starts individually, but I do see what's coming. I feel this very strongly, is that there's going to be a way for people to organize. And I don't mean like rallies or protests or anything political. It's more like a movement, an awareness, just like we're doing right now. Okay, a fellowship. Like, okay, I think of it like AA. Archons Anonymous actually does exist, but it's a freaking video game, which I find a little bit insulting, but that's the way our society works right now. They don't get it. They don't understand. This is not a game. I do liken it though to a nine-dimensional game of chess. Chess, as you know, is mock warfare. It's a simulation of warfare, right, between two sides. But there's so many dimensions, levels that are going on at the same time with this situation, that it's difficult for people to see it all, and that's fine. But unfortunately, most people here are still pawns of the archons in this game, or you know, it's not a game, but this conflict is very much like a game of chess, and it takes a lot of strategizing and situational awareness in order to make any progress. But I see we are making progress. And anyway, like I said, at some point, our side is going to be way more organized. Instead of just randomly letting forces push them one way or another, as more and more people wake up and start communicating like we're doing through this show, an email or whatever. Think of it. We really are the global village now. This show is being broadcast around the world.
I agree, we are the global village. The problem is, I found that the village is full of idiots.
It's true though. It is a global insane asylum.
Yeah.
As I told you before, let's just recap for a sec. How this all started, in my understanding, is that it was Lucifer, also known as Enki, Ea, Oannes, Neptune, Ta. I mean, he's known by many different names, but he is a real entity. Okay. But anyway, this being supposedly went insane at some point in the past and someplace in our universe. He and his crew allegedly went into an area of space that was off limits. Just call it a black hole. Okay. Let's just say a black hole. They felt as divine beings, gods, creators of worlds, that they were immune to whatever prohibition had been placed on this black hole. When they went into it, they were not prepared for what happened. They were so badly traumatized by the experience that they literally suffered multiple personalities. And that's where the mental parasites, these thought forms, that's where they were manifested unintentionally. when this group found their way out of the black hole, I told you this before, I know it was a while ago, just that's why I'm recapping. When this group of divine beings went insane and they finally found a way out back, you know, out of the black hole, they had gone mad, much like a dog on rabies, you know, that suffers from rabies. They literally started attacking their own kind and destroying worlds that they had once created. Eventually, that infection, that insanity, made its way to this world, and they destroyed not only this world but what was on the moon, Mars, etc. And they enslaved everyone and everything and turned it into a prison planet. And because they've lost the ability to literally manifest with their consciousness, they started manipulating what was already created, and they were essentially the first scientists, and literally mad scientists that were manipulating DNA and matter, and which they've done quite a bit of, but it's unsustainable. It truly is insane. That's why, you know, if we sit here as rational, empathic beings and try to understand why they do what they do, it's nearly impossible. Okay, because we're not them.
Yeah,
we are. You understand?
I had that realization when I was like, I think I was 23, and I was like looking at somebody, and he looked really crazy to me, and I was going,
"Yeah,
what would it take for me to try to understand this crazy person? I'd have to go insane, wouldn't I?"
Well, especially if they have
understand it.
Well, and see, the thing is, they're not fully coherent. When a person suffers from multiple personalities, there's a competition. There's an internal competition going on to be dominant, to who's the dominant one. And the thing is, they usually take turns. So you never know. Like, I could say one thing. You hear me say one thing now, and 5 minutes later, it's another thing because it's a different personality. So there's this internal competition. You cannot – and they're irrational. They're just completely irrational. So you can't have a rational conversation. You can't trust whatever that person is saying and or what they're going to do next. Who God knows? They don't even know. That's the problem. That's a really big problem. So, again, for people who say, oh, we just kill them, that's not how it works, okay? The benevolent ones that exist, and I consider you and I part of that, we would not want to kill those people. We would want to help them. No one is beyond help. We should never be in a position where we think we can judge someone to be beyond help or beyond hope. Okay, because I know if
you determine that somebody else is beyond help or beyond hope, it just means that you're beyond having faith.
Right, or you've given up trying to assist them. All right, because we don't know, and more importantly, I know that beings that are still in far more aware and enlightened than we are working on the situation. They're not just sitting back and watching us like we're some kind of really crazy sitcom. That's not how it works. They care about us because we're all related. We're all family. And they, not just us, they care about the divine ones that have fallen into this insane state of being. They're very concerned about them. So, you know, one of my questions to them mentally, I was having a conversation with them and asking the divine ones, why is this taking so long? What are you doing? You know, and the explanation that came back to me was, again, something biblical, which is 1,000 years to man is but a day to God. So there's this time dilation thing going on. I mean, think about it. If they're immortal or even semi-immortal and ultra, you know, multidimensional, they could have been working on this for a few years now, and it seems like thousands of years to us.
Yeah, and this has popped up, I think, twice in the shows in the last 2 weeks, that an alien species came here, they enslaved us, they made the society the way it was, and ever since then, they've been playing the reset button game. They possess a society, they build it up, and then they destroy it, and then they possess a different society, they build that, and then they destroy it. It's the only way to keep consistently covering their tracks throughout the course of history is to make people think that the tyrants who ruled the empires are already dead.
Right, and they keep changing their names. That's why I said about Lucifer, that's just the title. It means light bearer. And he is extremely bright. He is very radiant when you see him, which I have. I didn't know this, Vinny, but remember I told you that story about in Malibu in 1985 where he went up on the mountain and there was this radiant being that, you know, told me he was the father or my father. You remember that story? Okay, so it took me almost 3 decades to figure out that that was Lucifer. He likes to think of himself as the father of mankind because he's the one, as Enki in the Sumerian text, as Enki, he's the one that supposedly saved us from the flood. What he forgot to tell us, he actually intentionally forgot to tell us, was that the reason his family wanted everything wiped out is because he had illegitimately taken over this world, turned it from a paradise planet with symbiotic life on it into a prison or parasite planet that he controlled. In other words, it was a monstrosity. They said, you have to stop this, you have to wipe it out, or we will wipe it out. And he said, oh, no, 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 I'll do it. I'll do it. And, you know, yeah, he did it, but he had this back door. So he had a contingency plan to restart the whole damn thing, which he did. And that's what we are.
Just like restarting the Matrix, you know?
Yes.
Every time.
Yes, many times. That's
every
right.
Every time the resistance happens, every time it gets exposed. And this is the interesting part about our time. And I'm very glad to be a part of it. It's the first time where we've actually had the technology and the communicative means to actually do a meta-analysis of history in order to come to these conclusions about what these things do, where they came from, and how long they've been here. Like, for the first time, a mass awareness about that. It's never happened before. And if that realization has never happened before, that means the future's unpredictable.
Right.
But the question is, will they simply destroy and then reset again and then everybody loses the knowledge? And maybe we are just the arbiters of our own demise, because once the awareness does get to a certain point, once they do get exposed, that's when they pull the plug and destroy everything and reset it. Because as soon
possibly.
As a destruction happens, knowledge gets lost. It's just like that.
It does. It doesn't have to be a cataclysm either. It could be, well, actually it was the genocide. That's what I talk about. The first people were genocide not that long ago. And I mean, they weren't the first people, but that's what the Native Americans in Malibu say. There was a first people destroyed in a flood, and then it was restarted. And then the Native Americans ascended for thousands of years. They had this thing going on, this culture, and then they were genocide. Okay, and all the information that they had, you're right, was lost, more or less. I mean, I have some of it, but which I bring out in the book, yeah. So one of the things that I realized as I was doing my research about Lucifer, I came across something called the Wes Penray Papers, which is on my website in the library section. It's free if you want to read. Anybody wants to read it, they're welcome to do that. What Wes had said was that Lucifer was supposed to ascend to the kingship of the Orion Empire, but he was denied it. And Wes, like so many other people, take a Christian view of this. Not that he is a Christian, but there's a limited amount of information that's presented to us for a reason. We think, most of us, that Lucifer's pride, his ego, was the reason that he fell. Or was denied the kingship of the, you know, whatever, the empire. What my source, the source I quote to you quite a bit is Norman Paulson. He created something called Sunburst in Santa Barbara, California. He was a friend of my dad's. They both studied under Yogananda. And
did a confectionery company steal his idea and create Starburst instead?
Perhaps. Okay. Anyway, what happened was in the 1950s, Norman was one of the people that claimed he was contacted by benevolent human extraterrestrials. That's where I got the information. Shortly after meeting this guy, Lucifer, not knowing it was him, he said he was his father, right? But in 1985, that happened to me. And then 1986, I was given this book, and it's now called Christ Consciousness by Norman Paulson. And I actually have a brief section on that in my articles. If you go to my website and click on articles and click on the birth of the Archons, you can read that section where he talks about Lucifer going insane. Anyway, that's the real reason, I think, why he was passed over for the kingship of the Orion Empire, this galaxy. You know, the biggest empire in this galaxy allegedly was in Orion, and this Earth was part of that. And his family had created this wonderful, especially his, specifically his mother and brother had created this world as a blueprint. It was an experiment, a blueprint to be like, they were, if it worked here, if it worked well, it was going to become a blueprint for the entire empire throughout the galaxy. And the problem is that, that when, after Lucifer went crazy, literally went mad, they, in all good conscience, they couldn't let him ascend to the throne. That would have been irresponsible, right? So he decided, in all his, you know, infinite wisdom, he said, well, then screw you. I'm going to go off and create my own empire. That's where the Civil War started, long time ago. And I mean, when I say long, relatively speaking, he didn't show up here and start screwing things up till about 400,000 years ago. And there, you're probably going to get some hate mail from people going, no, 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 Robert's got it all wrong. It's not Enki, it's Enlil. And the reason is because a lot of people have read Zachariah Sitchin's work and they take his translation or interpretation as gospel. They don't understand that Enki's insane. He is Lucifer. He has every reason to lie, and he makes himself look like a victim. He thinks he's the father of humanity because he genetically engineered us to be his children, that he's the savior of mankind. it's not accurate. And this is what I'm saying about psychopaths, as you know, they lie, especially if they've got multiple personality disorder.
Oh, dude, they come after you. And I remember one psychopath that I was working with, who was like trying to go like, oh, we're going to do the legal fiction and we're going to like get free of the governments and all of that kind of thing. We're going to have a great savings, our liberties, blah, 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 blah. And all he wanted to do was really find a way of like outsmarting the court so he could commit all the crimes that he was planning.
Yeah, that's right. Like... that's right. They often pretend to be, because they feel no emotion, they pretend to be good guys or good girls, and they know how to emulate people who are empathic, who are healthy, but it's an act. It's all an act so that they can prey on us.
And as soon as you go into the office with this guy alone, that's when he starts yelling at you. That's when he starts thumping his fist on the desk. That's when he starts threatening you in order to keep you to work for him. He tries to break you. And I was like, this is really not cool. So me and my mate, we grabbed a camera and we exposed him. And that was the end of that. And he went down on 36 fraud charges the following year.
Wow. Well, I do see, if we get far enough down the road here, I do see that all of this is going to be exposed. And however, there are some souls, humans here, that have been, for so many lifetimes, they have been under the heel of the Archon, that once they actually realize what's going on and are offered their freedom to live a normal, healthy life, some people actually choose to continue serving the Archon agenda.
I wouldn't say some. I would say most.
Well, we don't know. We don't know yet, because what one of the things I saw coming, as far as when I asked, not only why is it taking so long, how is this going to be resolved? Can you give me a clue? How in the world? Because I can't see how, like you said, there's just a no-win situation. What I was shown was a wave of energy washing over the planet and literally waking everybody's DNA up. In other words, like I said, if most people are stuck on dial-up intentionally, look, this is why they manipulated our DNA, and this is why they screw with our pineal gland. Among other things, there's all these layers of like firewalls that keeps us from having a direct connection to the cosmos. Okay, so if what I saw was this wave coming sweeping over the planet and literally waking everybody up and giving them broadband with like just like that, suddenly they're awake, much like the movie They Live. You know, you put on the sunglasses, you see them. It would be like that plus the Matrix on steroids. Is suddenly you're just like, what is going on? You've been given the red pill and then some. And you see what's going on. Well, it's going to be shocking to say at least to people who are unprepared for it. But I feel that, like I said, at that point, hopefully quite a few more people, because it hasn't happened yet, Vinny, we're working up to it. They were working up to it.
Can I throw out an idea here?
Go ahead.
We always had to try to use organic analogies, like something an organic thing. And I was thinking about an immune system response.
Mm-hmm.
When a virus enters the immune system, it sends a signal. The signal takes a long time to get to the brain to tell it that there's a problem.
Usually.
When it does detect that there's a problem, it dispatches a whole lot of different measures. It dispatches things that eat up the trash and the disgusting stuff that gets left along and the wreckage of all the cells that have been destroyed and infected. But once it starts to manufacture antibodies, they move very, very quickly. They detect the pathogens very fast and they take them down, and they don't actually destroy them. They neutralize them,
right?
But they also go down with it, and the body is left to regenerate on its own after fighting off this virus, and it threatens the entire existence of the body in and of itself, this battle.
That's a good analogy. Well, as I've been saying since 2011, you're right. Evil is an infection. Okay, psychopathic behavior is, or evil, as we loosely call it, is an infection of our consciousness by these thought forms, these mental parasites, but they were created by these other beings, these divine beings that are literally mad. Okay, so I don't know that – I'm not even concerned so much about that, although they could – yeah, it would be great if the – look, even if the mental parasites all went away tomorrow, we would still have to deal with Lucifer and his minions. Because they've created the Matrix is real, as far as I know. That was the other thing I learned in the West Penry papers, is that Lucifer and his crew actually made a machine that lowered the vibratory rate of this particular quadrant of space that we're in, his empire, as he calls it, that literally made everything more dense and cut us off. And it's one of the reasons they're cut off. Their consciousness, their soul was cut off. When they went mad, they literally – I don't think it was intentional, but they cut themselves. They were cut off from the God or goddess energy, the source. That's why they became predators. That's why they're parasitic. They don't have that direct connection, or they wouldn't be feeding off of us. And by the way, that's one of the reasons they keep us around here. As far as I know, they do recycle the souls here. They want to keep us under their control the same way we want, domestic animals to feed us, right? We control them very tightly. It's what we are to them. And that relationship is going to change. Like you said, once we recognize it, like an autoimmune defense system, yeah, of course we're going to figure out ways to counteract that. We have to, in order for us to survive.
But the question is, what is it what we're going to do? This is the thing that's been perplexing me for quite some time, because up till this point in human history, the only people that actually survive contact with a psychopath are those people who run the hell away from them and try to stay and try to avoid them, you know. And it's kind of like that it's frightening to me, and probably to another people, just the concept of going into battle or war or anything like that, as it should be, right? Nobody wants war. Nobody wants battle. Least among those options is a war for your own country, a battle in your streets, a battle against neighbors, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's
what we're actually talking about here. Maybe that's why the Earth goes through these periodic cataclysms, is because that's actually what it takes in order to wipe out the infection. But it just grows back.
Well, it wipes us out.
On an empty cycle, right? That's
the
big question.
You had it right before. It's a way, another means of controlling us. There, and he considers us his subjects of his illegitimate empire. We are his property. Okay, so therefore he can do whatever he wants with us. And that's why the abductions and all these other crazy things that are going on right now. I mean, look, I'll just cut to the chase. What his agenda is, my understanding, again, from reading the Wes Penry papers, is that his Lucifer's agenda, Enki, is to upgrade us through what is this called, the transhumanist movement?
Yeah, they want humanity to merge with technology so that technology right. can be used to control the organic form.
Well, and in essence, the spirit as well, right? So not only are they getting energy out of us, there's another component here that most people don't see coming. They want us to move off into space, finally, again, but only to serve their agenda. Of course, they're not going to tell us that up front, but he has always wanted to ascend to the throne of his birthright back at the home court of Orion. And so he's going to use us to spearhead an attack on the court. The reason being is because we have quite a bit of intact DNA. It's dormant, but it's the DNA that his mother placed here. And there's something about us, there's a component about us that he feels he can use to help spearhead and finally break through the protective barrier that surrounds the court of Orion.
You'll have to elaborate a little bit more on that, I'm afraid.
Okay, not a problem. I understand. Yeah, most people never heard this. Most people that know anything about exopolitics feel that based on what is out there, that the Orion are evil or they mean us harm. What they don't understand is Lucifer is an Orion. He comes from the Orion court, and he is the one that's propagating these lies and saying, you know, the Orion Empire is the evil enemy.
Like a psychopath who kidnapped you, telling you the cops are your enemy. Don't call them. Right. I know they'll hurt you.
Right. Right. Well, and you know, a lot of us are very vulnerable to, are susceptible to what they call the Stockholm syndrome. We start to identify with our captors. It's a survival mechanism, but I think it's more than that. I think it's really literally been programmed into us so that we just submit.
It's called being domesticated, all right? It happens to horses, right?
Yeah.
You break them, then they want to please you, you know? You do it to dogs, you train them, and then they want to please you. You can't do it to cats. It doesn't matter what you call a cat because they do as they please.
That's right. So my understanding is that the Orion Empire is where we originated from, and it was a paradise planet. They were the largest empire. Yes, they had some issues with other regions that they had. They had an alliance going, so that was what expanded their empire greatly prior to all this nonsense happening with Lucifer. Or Enki, he, like I said, was supposed to become the next Enlil. It's just a title. And he was going to be the king of the Orion Empire. When they said, no, you cannot, we cannot allow you to become the king of this grand empire, is when he said, okay, I'm going to create my own empire. And that's where the civil war started. His empire is based in Aldebaran, which is the Eye of Taurus. It's near the Pleiades. It's actually near Hades too, oddly enough, the constellation. So he has this rival empire going on, and they're the ones that took over this world and enslaved everyone and everything on it. And it didn't start in Roswell. I want people to understand that this has been going on in Earth terms for hundreds of thousands of years.
But it happened in Roswell as well.
It did. Yes. Good wordplay. So we are okay. Just like in the Matrix, there was different versions, right?
Oh, I want to tell you something. Actually, on that note, I saw a guy on YouTube does these videos called film theories. He like has these theories about what a film really means.
Right.
And he said that there wasn't actually a real world in the Matrix films. Right. There wasn't actually a real Zion. It was actually just another computer program, because the machines figured out that if you woke up from the Matrix or figured out that you were a slave, they had to have an alternate reality for you to go in that was based upon perpetual resistance to them, right? So that you would never wake up from that, and you would never, there was no escape from the Matrix. It doesn't matter whether you think you're aware of it or not. And, you know, that's not the intention maybe behind the Wachowski films. It's just a film theory. But it actually resonated really heavily with me because I came out of the university and I thought, oh, that's BS. I'll go into the workforce. And, you know, thinking that'd be so much better. And then come out of that and then come into the truth movement. And then you realize that there's so many people in the truth movement who are just lying, thieving, parasitical scumbags who just, like, sell bullshit to everybody for a dollar, and it's like horrible, man. And I'm just wondering how many illusions do I need to wake up to before I can actually qualify as being awake?
Well, okay, good point. In 1985, when I was up on the mountain praying as though my life or meditating as though my life depended on it, I did that because I was being attacked by these mental parasites. They were attacking me because I'd intervened. There was a boy who was possessed by them. I didn't know it at the time, but I felt it, okay? When I intervened, I was helping the boy's grandparents get the boy out of there to a hospital because he was bleeding to death. He was hearing voices. I somehow knew that at the time. Once I recognized that he was hearing these voices, I saw them, much like the lights you see behind me. It was like they were floating up in the thing. They weren't lit up, but they looked like – I immediately recognized them as – parasites. I've never seen them before, but I wasn't even sure they were there. Okay. And I only saw them briefly and then it just kind of faded out. So I thought I was hallucinating until after I left, the paramedic showed up, the boy was on his way out. And I went back to being just a security guard, I thought, right? But something, I could feel that something attacking me now through my solar plexus. And I felt like they were going to kill me. Vinny, I swear to you, I felt like at first I thought I just had a stomach ache, but it persisted. And it was like the analogy I tell people is like, if you ever get a sink full of water and you pull the plug and you just watch it drain, that's what it felt like. It was coming out of my solar plexus. It was just like draining, draining, draining out. I was like, whoa, what is this crap? So that's why I intuitively, instinctively found my way up to a mountaintop that night and began meditating, praying, whatever, trying to find some sort of relief from whatever these things were that were attacking me. When I laid down finally at some point that night, I laid down on cement, of all things, of this old radar installation for the military. It was part of the Nike system for Los Angeles. Anyway, I was laying down on this slab of cement. And I floated right up out of my body into – and it was just like all white light. And I felt safe there until I saw movement. So naturally, I was up in a wilderness area. Yeah, I was out of my body. But I mean, you know, any kind of movement, it catches your attention. And as this thing came up to face – it literally was a man facing me like we're doing now, face to face. And he was radiating this incredible light, brighter than the light we were in, with coming out of his eyes, there was this light, right? So I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, wow, who is that? And he says, I'm the Father. And it totally baffled me because I wasn't what the hell does that mean? I mean, he looked like Jesus, okay? Long hair, beard, robe. But he didn't say, I'm Jesus. He said, I'm the Father. Well, okay, I'm not a Christian, but I know the myth, all right? I know the storyline. Christ is always saying, I and the Father are one, whatever that means, right? The Father in heaven. Anyway, it was like, I'm trying to process this, and then he started laughing. He started laughing, and, for the longest time I used to tell people about this publicly, I'd say, but it wasn't sinister. He was just laughing at me, I thought. Actually, it was sinister. He was having a jolly good time fucking with my mind, okay? Sorry to say that, folks, but that's what he's good at. It's like the song Sympathy for the Devil. Pleased to meet you. Won't you guess my name? You know, what's troubling you is the nature of my game. Because on some level to him, this is a bit of a game. He's nuts.
Yeah. Because right? They'll always imitate the thing that you think is going to save you.
Well, and that was the problem. I thought he was the answer to my prayer meditation thing. You know, I was sending out an SOS. I needed help. He shows up. I'm thinking, okay, this guy looks like a god. Maybe he is God. I don't know. He just said he's the Father. The very next thing, so he says, I'm the Father. I'm looking at him going, what? And he's laughing at me in this sinister way. And the next thing I know, I sit bolt upright. All right. It only felt like a minute had passed. I wasn't asleep, Vinny. I was laying down because I was tired, but I wasn't asleep yet. I was just laying there, and suddenly, like, you know that feeling sometimes you have, they call it falling asleep, where you feel like you're falling. Well, that was the feeling I started getting, and instead of jerking back into my body, I just let it go. And I went right out of my body, and that's how I, well, the reason he confronted me now, all these years later, I realize it, is because I interrupted not only the parasites, but him. He was there. He's been there for a long time. He's everywhere, okay? He's set up the matrix, okay? And here I am interrupting that. How dare I? Who the hell do I think I am, you know? Really? To upset his apple cart? Are you kidding? This is his world. We are his subjects. You don't get to do that. And so I thought I was just having some weird little vision, right? For a moment, and then I just kind of sat upright. I really thought it was that fast. Maybe a minute had passed. I sit up, and I look, and when I laid down, the moon was like almost directly overhead. I don't wear a watch, okay? See, I hate watches. When I lay down, there it was. When I sat up, the moon was now setting on the horizon. Hours had gone by. And I thought, wait a second, whoa, 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 whoa. How could I go having completely lucid consciousness with this being of light to having nothing for hours while I'm laying on cement? I mean, I don't even sleep that well in a bed, honestly. I wake up a lot. I have sleep disorders. I don't, you know, and that made no sense to me whatsoever. Now I know, though, he does that to people. He and his people, they have this thing where they can erase our mind. They do it to us every time we reincarnate, or every time they trick us into coming back. They got a little soul trap going around the planet. They get us to come back. And how do they do it? We are the light. We are the, you know, I think you've had Cameron Day talking about this, the Lords of Karma. They present themselves. Look, in the Bible, they said Satan can present himself as an angel of light. Right. So how would we know he's not good? If we see a being of light, we think, oh, they must be good. They're of the light. And whatever they say is probably for our own benefit. Not always the case, especially not on this world, considering what's going on. Like I said, this is a battle.
See, I've found it's always the other way. The good people are the ones who just give you something and don't ask for nothing. And the bad ones right. are the ones who say, I'm going to do everything for you, but actually give you nothing to, up front, you know? They always right. ask you to give them something first. It's kind of like sales.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I reached out to you recently is I saw an interview you did with Stu Webb. You remember Stu?
Oh, yeah.
For people who don't know, he allegedly was an Illuminati insider that had somehow developed a consciousness or grew a consciousness and a conscience, excuse me. He felt bad. He started to recover from the psychopathic behavior around him, and he realized it was wrong. So and I believe he's a Christian now. So that's what works for him. But he talked, if you remember, he said when he first came to the realization of what the problem really was, he was on top of a mountain in Colorado speaking to a friend. And the friend said to him, look, there are these demonic entities. I can't say anymore. And he said, why? And he says, because they're all around us and they'll tell on us. If I tell you the truth, they'll tell on me.
Yeah, it's like they never left school. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show. Robert Stanley is my guest. This is American Freedom Radio, both listener-supported network and a listener-supported show. So go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com today and sign up to give us a few dollars a month of that legal tender that we cannot refuse. We'll see you again after the break. Don't you go anywhere, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? And my very special guest, Robert Stanley, is here, and we're talking about archons and psychopathic criminal scumbags that are exterminating you currently. And plan to do a little bit more of it in the future. So, you know, it's a really nice, fun, and uplifting and inspiring conversation, as one would expect. Anyway, I also do, again, want to remind people that American Freedom Radio is a listener-supported network. So if you are enjoying the broadcast and you're enjoying all the hosts that are doing all this for free, mind you, if you like the fact that we're not even charging anybody to listen to the network, if you like the fact that we're archiving all of this stuff for free so that if you can't make the live broadcast, you can still catch all the rebroadcasts. There's a hell of a lot of work that goes into doing just those things, and if you can help us by giving a few dollars here or there, signing up regular so that a monthly little debit comes out into our accounts, that all adds up to something very, very useful for us at the end of the day. Every single time when I've had a bill and I'm like, I don't have any idea how I'm going to pay this, listener donation just, boom, materializes an exact amount I need a day on the exact same day that I need to pay that bill. You see how that works? You can play your part in the universe, as it were, by putting your energy into what it is that you want to support. And money is just a unit of energy at the end of the day. Do you want to put it into McDonald's? Do you want to put it into yourself? Or do you want to put it into something that benefits the entire human race? Like information, right? And giving people the chance to talk about their many diverse views so that you'll gain a thing that you won't gain anywhere else. A very broad and diverse perspective that allows you to enjoy life, and because it becomes that much more interesting when you know what's beneath the next onion layer peel. AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, please give us some donations, give us something regular. I think we've earned it, you know. We've been pretty consistent for quite a few years now. We're worth it. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. I want to add to what you're saying, because I did host my own radio show for a period of time, and I also started my own radio station streaming, right? So I know what you're saying is true. You don't get paid. Not only that, you do have bills. In order to stream a show, not only do you need the right equipment, but you have to have subscriptions to servers so that people can pick up your stream. That's not free. That costs you and your associate affiliates money to do that. It isn't free. So I just want people to realize, I understand firsthand, it's really tough to do, to pull it off, number one, and do it well. Number two is, that's a whole nother ballgame. I don't think you can teach being a good host, especially if when it comes to truth movement. You either are or you're not. You can't fake that. But it, again, the bills are consistent. There is no show unless you pay your bills to keep the stream going. So I hope people realize that. And of course, it's important for you guys to get compensated too. I really think that that is a huge, huge thing. So I have to remind myself, there's a few shows I'd like to donate to that I'm there's a few of them that are really good. And I know you guys personally too, which is really interesting. I should have just done this before. I promise I'll get around to it. Now, what we were talking about before the break was Stu Webb, Illuminati insider, and the transition point for him, if I remember his conversation with you, as he said, as he described it, was up on a mountain in Colorado with a friend of his who was still, I guess they were both in the Illuminati, and I guess Stu was just waking up to what's really going on, and his friend said, "Yes, you're right. There's demonic entities involved in all of this. They're running the show from behind the scenes, but I can't tell you anymore." He says, "Why not?" And he goes, "Because they're listening." And he goes, Stu said, "Wait a minute, man, we're up on top of a mountain. There's nobody around here." And he goes, no, you don't understand. They're all around us all the time. They're watching us. And if I tell you, they will tell on me. So they'll go to their superiors and tell them that I've outed them and I'm going to be punished. It's like, that's it. I can't tell you anymore. So I was fascinated by that. Okay, I was really fascinated by that.
A friend actually told me a very similar thing. It was like late in the parking lot and it was like dark and everything like that. And he just leans in and actually just whispers to her, "They're watching you." And he wouldn't elaborate as
Right.
to who they were. And he'd been
Right.
involved in some very high level security programming sort of stuff. He's one of those kind of like whizzes with the codes and stuff.
Yeah, Nick Redfern wrote a book about this. It was called The Final Something or Other. And I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on it. But anyway, he wrote about how the U.S. intelligence agencies know these things exist, and they have, on some level, collaborated with them to allegedly to get an advantage over their perceived enemies, being human, right? The final something. Anyway, I'll have to send it to you later, but I have it up on my website under the Malibu Chronicles section. It's an important piece of the puzzle. There's so many different pieces to this puzzle. And that's again, that's one of the other thing I shared with you is this article about artifacts that are on Earth. Well, actually, this is Malibu, Mars, and the Moon all have these weird artifacts. And the article, I would direct people to go to my website and click on in the article section, click on the first one. There's Digital Deception in the Pacific. This is an article I never intended to write, much like most of the things in my life. They just seem sort of happen to me. I'm cool with it, okay? I surfed a lot as a youth growing up, right, in Malibu. So I know that if you put yourself out there, eventually a wave is going to push you somewhere. It's going to take you somewhere. And that's kind of how I live my life. I mean, yes, I can choose not to, but I tend to ride these things wherever they take me. So what happened was in January of this year, January 8th to be precise, I was sitting at this computer in Hong Kong, and I was looking at Google Earth. Specifically, I was looking at a what appears to be very large artificial constructs under the water in the Central Pacific near Baker Island. Baker Island's famous because that's where allegedly where Amelia Earhart was last seen or heard from. So the reason I was looking at that back in 2013 was I had written an article about a guy who allegedly went missing there for 6 months. He entered some sort of portal, like the Bermuda Triangle kind of thing. He entered a portal in that area and went missing. He was on an island that doesn't even exist on the map. And 6 months later, he came back out of the portal and went back to the military. And it's a bizarre story. That's another one people can read in my article section. It's free. It's called Wonder Island, Portal to Paradise. So I was looking at Google Earth back there in 2013, and I found these things. They look like buildings, massive buildings. One of them's 20 miles long by 5 miles wide. It's huge, and it has geometric structures to it that make me think there's no way this could be natural. It has to be artificial, but it's just under the water. So this year, again, January 2016, I go there. I'm looking at Google Earth, and I did a screen capture of the objects, okay, like I'd done before. A couple hours later, I did this so I could do a photo analysis of it. I was trying to think of some ways to enhance the features. And a couple of hours later, I went back to Google Earth to do another screen capture. The objects were gone off of Google Earth. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not possible. These things are pretty big. So I restarted Google Earth. I tried a different computer because I have a couple. I tried my smartphone. I had other people try. No, it's gone from Google Earth. So eventually, I tried on like Bing Maps and Apple Maps, and sure enough, those things are still there on those maps. So that's when I realized, wait, okay, I know the trick. It's very simple. Somebody digitally copied and cloned, like, okay, say this is what I want to do. I can copy right here and then paste it here, copy here, paste it here. Pretty soon my head is like missing, right? If this was a digital thing, if I were we were doing digital whatever, Photoshop, that's how you do it. Clone, paste, and it just vanishes. It's like
If you just
camouflage.
keep copying the background again and again and again, you can eventually just paste out whatever's in the middle, whoever you
Right.
want to erase.
Right, and it used to be called airbrushing, and it wasn't as good. Now it's a little bit better. If you're good at, I've learned how to do this in Photoshop. But anyway, bottom line is, I go, what the hell? Why did they do that? It's been there for years. Why are they suddenly doing that? And of all things, while I was sitting there, literally in my face, and it got me wondering. It's like, okay, they're playing games. They're obviously, and I, so I started to research it a bit, and I found out that there was actually, it's kind of well known that Google blacks out or pixelates certain areas, what they call sensitive areas on the planet, on Google Earth. Okay, but then I started wondering, you know, who determines what is a sensitive area? And there was no mention of them actually literally just erasing things, you know, digitally like that, or making them vanish or appear to be gone when they're not. That's why I call it digital deception, because that's what it is. And then it got me thinking back to the Malibu, so-called Malibu UFO base that everybody, you know, went viral in 2014, thanks to another talk show host and his they made some pretty wild claims. Okay. And it actually from one angle, it does look like an entrance into, you know, to some sort of underwater base. It's not. That got me thinking, well, look, if they can make things disappear digitally, why can't they create things too? How hard would it be? Right. Because all it is layers of data. So as you adjust your map, you're getting a different layer and a different layer. It's like, and they're all pretty seamless, but it's not like the map is really rotating. You know, you just got multiple layers of stuff there. So anyway, I went back and I examined that very closely. And I prove in my article that there's no UFO base there. There never was, at least not the way it was presented to us. So we start in Malibu, and then the second half of that article, page one, is showing you these massive objects that Google tried to remove from their maps. They look totally artificial. I mean, if you look at the pictures, you'll see for yourself. This is not my conjecture. It's real. As I was writing page one of this, and I thought that was it, actually. I didn't know there was going to be a page two. As I was starting to research Google Earth, I found a video of some people that said there's showing pictures of these massive doorways on the surface of Mars. Okay. And I thought, okay, look, rather than take their word for it, I'm just going to fire up my Google Earth and go to Mars, right? Because you can do that for people who don't know. Google Earth, you have the option of going to Mars, Moon, or staying on Earth. I don't think they have Venus yet. It doesn't matter. The point is, I just went to the coordinates on Mars, and I looked, and sure enough, here's these series of – they're more like hangar doors. They're huge, Vinny, okay? You could I say that because it would be very easy for a craft to go in. It's not for people to walk into. Besides, it's like, okay, it's not a doorway like the one behind me here. Okay, that's not it. It's literally, if this is the surface of the thing, there is a doorway on the surface that leads directly inside the planet. And they're all on the same line, and they're spaced out. I don't know that the spacing is perfect, but they're all along the same line. Most of them are either partially or almost completely covered over using the same technique I told you about. And it's not perfect. Whoever did it did not do a perfect job. What I find interesting too about this is that Google uses multiple sources of data in order to make their hybrid maps. So it's not all NASA here that we're talking about, right? There's multiple agencies that they get their data from in order to make these things. I think some of these agencies actually are a little more open, and they've actually leaked information through. And I guess somebody figured it out later, and they tried to kind of cover it over. But it's there, okay? So I thought, wow, that's amazing. I didn't expect that. But as I was – now that was page two because I felt they were related, all right? Google Earth, artifacts, hidden, Earth, Mars, all right. Well, maybe I should go to the moon and see if there's anything – on the moon using Google Earth. Why not? Right? Just takes time. Just takes a little time. I go there and I look and that ended up being page three. I was shocked to find not only are there the same kind of doorways or hangars on the surface of the moon that leads inside, they're actually more elaborate and there's more of them. And again, they're partially covered over using the clone tool. I say, wait a second here. What is Google up to, right? But as I'm looking at that one little stretch, God, it was not even that big. And it's actually, it's just below, just south of the Sea of Tranquility, and the Sea of Crisis. Oddly enough, it's sort of between these two extremes. But it's this one little strip. And the reason it looks like a strip is because that's the scan, all right? That's the scans. That area on Google Earth looks very bright, and it has a higher definition or higher resolution. So you can actually see more of whatever's there. Most of the moon through Google Earth is, and even Mars, it doesn't have a high enough resolution to see fine details on the surface. We know it's there, but you can't see it with Google. But okay, so I'm looking at these things. I'm looking at these massive opening doorways on the moon. And then I'm finding other stuff too, like roadways that shouldn't be there. Not freeways. They look like dirt roads out in a desert. So how they meander, but they clearly go in a direction, and they're, this is not a footpath. This is a road. And there was at least two of them up there. And I thought, that's bizarre. And there was other things too. But what really floored me is I knew there was a lot of lava tubes on the moon. So I'm kind of looking at that, and I'm looking, you zoom in on these things that look like lava tubes. Clearly some of them are, but others are, there's literally whole structures built above and below the surface that have been demolished, or it looks like somebody detonated a bomb on them. But they're so geometrically correct. And what's really amazing to me, Vinny, is like you see whatever the pattern is of this building, the construction, it repeats itself, and it repeats itself. You go down the map, and you can literally see like there's a bunch of them, and like much like the doors I told you are identical, right? So it was constructed by the same entities at a date uncertain, and it makes sense. It all makes sense, right? Except, well, it begs the question: who built that? When did they build it? And who destroyed it? I think that's more importantly: who destroyed it and why? Now this is important, man, because that's part of our heritage. That's part of the legacy of who we are. We're not just Earth. Okay, Earth and the moon are a binary system. However, we're part of the solar system. Our neighborhood has been wrecked. It's been ravaged by the insanity of Lucifer. And I told you, his people used to build worlds and make sure that they were sustaining life. Once they went insane, they turned it all on its head, and they became the polar opposite.
So they used to be terraformers, but now they're just terrorists.
Good wordplay, man. Sad but true. It's sad but true. And that's stark evidence that people can look at. And I didn't even put all the stuff up there because it would be too much. The page would take forever to load because there'd just be too many pictures. But you can see in most of these, I did a screen capture, and you can see it's Google Earth, where they got the data, the coordinates, etc. I even did some measurements. These things are big. They're big. And some of them are really interesting. It's like Lego, you know, where it's modular, and you can see it's there's multiple stories above and below the surface. It's obvious. I didn't create that, okay? It's not pixelation. It's not compression. Those things exist. Those things really do exist, and I'm sure NASA and other agencies would have to know about it. It's just they stick out. They stick out so badly. And again, that's just one little area. For all we know, the entire moon is some sort of thing. Now, okay, so here's page four, all right? I kept doing an analysis. I'm looking at who is Google? It turns out it's an extension of the Pentagon. They started it through the CIA and the NSA. They literally were the seed money that started Google. So recently there's an article that says Google and the Pentagon are teaming up. Oh, really? No, actually they've always been the same entity under a slightly different name. You know, they it's a front group to control information. Well, everything is in this day and age is all about information, right? Why not? But do you know their motto, their corporate code of conduct?
Don't be evil.
Right.
Now, what would a psychopath who is trying to gain your trust in a giant evil corporation give that corporation as a motto?
Yes. Well, in last year, 2015, when they reshuffled the deck, I guess you would call it. I don't know. They created a parent company or a holding company called Alphabet. That is now the top of the pyramid for Google. So at that point, they dropped the corporate logo, Don't Be Evil. So does that mean they now have given themselves permission to be evil? Because honestly – denying people information, especially when not just information, but access to their true heritage, their birthright, the legacy of mankind in the solar system, to me, that is pretty damn evil. And see, they're not just what the problem is. They are involved in, as I point out on page 4, folks. That, believe me, that was the end of it for now. That's it's a long deal, but I mean, really, if you, it's got a lot of pictures, a lot of connections, a lot of links. Every page I do in an article, it's like you're going to spend on each page. You're going to spend a long. If you have the time, it's there. Okay, it's very graphic. It's very information rich, and it's all real, as far as I know. Although I wouldn't be talking about it. I wouldn't put it out there. But Google is involved in the artificial intelligence and robotics. Okay, they are transhumanists, and they are openly now saying we're working with the Pentagon. Their former chief executive is now working with the Pentagon, and they've said, "Hey, Pentagon, come on over to Silicon Valley. You can hang out with us. We'll be buddies." It's not a good thing, people. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, page 4. What happens on page 4? We're going to find out exactly what's going on the moon and Mars very soon, because as I pull together this whole puzzle, I got articles that show that all the nations of the Earth that have space programs, they're all going to the moon and Mars. And I mean, like, now. This stuff is happening right now. In our lifetime, Vinny, we're going to see this happen. Now, of course, they're going to put a spin on all of it. They're not going to show us everything all at once. But they're literally – the European Union has already said they're going to build a moon village. They're going to bring 3D printers there. And oddly enough, the pictures of the stuff that they're talking about will be partially below and partially above, somewhat buried, right? They're also going to live in – they're going to put habitats inside the lava tubes. Now, at that, you realize this. As we start to colonize, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Every single time any official announces that they're going to start doing anything, all they're doing really is telling you in advance of something that they've already been doing for quite some time.
Right, but they did not build those. I don't see how a secret space program could have built all that stuff and left it there demolished. You know, it doesn't fit the timeline
unless you had a closer look at it. That's the thing. They could.
Well, it looks like it.
A lot of people are talking about this, actually, that there's some kind of secret space program, right?
Right.
That teleportation technology exists. They're able to go to jump rooms there and back and so on and so forth. So it, in my opinion, it's within the realm of possibility that there is, in fact, an advanced spacefaring sort of branch of humanity that is totally freaking secret, trying to keep under wraps. However, I don't really have the evidence to prove it, nor does anyone.
Right.
But again, back to that point, as soon as they start announcing that they're going to start building we're going to make a moon village and the exact kind of structures and everything that somebody just happens to have found there, they're already there.
Well, I'm sure they are. But okay, so the narrative is that these various nations are going to collaborate, build a base on the moon, and start colonizing Mars. That in our lifetime, okay? That's not my theory. That's in the headline news. And I pull it all together and show you the timelines of how they're going to, you know, they plan to do this using certain technologies. It's viable, okay? And they're saying we're going to do this. So I do think they are. And or they're going to tell us that, hey, guess what? Guess what, folks? Get on board. We're going off to, you know, we're like pioneers of the old West. We're, you know, we're heading off to Mars and the moon. The thing is, the reason, and this goes back to what I said before, the reason that we're being permitted to do that at this point, and believe me, the military is involved. There's no way they're not going to be involved. Is to serve someone else's agenda. And I call it the Luciferian agenda. People think, unfortunately, this is one of the greatest tricks he ever pulled on us, is convincing us he doesn't exist any longer, right? God's dead. There is no devil. It's just us, the secular humanists that are about to become cyborgs, right? And it's all about us. There isn't anything else until there is something else. And this is what I saw coming. The reason that there's this super wave, and that's what some people have called it, a super wave. I didn't know that even had a name. But this wave of energy is a contingency plan against what the Luciferian agenda is, like I told you, is to upgrade us, move us off the planet, into put us strategically in a position where we can eventually help attack the court of Orion. The only way they can do that is slowly, gradually build us up. And actually, I think they've accelerated. Part of the process, the way I saw it coming, is that they are going to stage a landing, or what the Vatican's going to call this, the return of the gods. The UN will be completely on board. This is just what I saw coming, okay? I can't prove it.
Robert, you cut out just about maybe five seconds ago. You were talking about they're going to want?
Okay. Enki, Lucifer, is going to stage a return. He's never left, okay? I mean, when he did leave, when he has left here, he's left his people in charge. He's not going to relinquish control of us. So they are going to stage a return of the gods. The Vatican knows this, and they're fully on board with it. And so is the UN. So when this fake return of the gods occurs, a lot of people are going to fall for that. And it's going to be at that point where things really accelerate. This all this other crap is just preparation.
Well, they were talking about this with Carol Rosen, the creator of Peace and Space.
I know her.
And they're really firing up the whole weaponization of space kind of race right at the moment, interestingly enough. Now, I was thinking about this, right? What was the question me and Carol came up with? If you had to create a world government, how would you do it? Because people have tried to conquer people with military force. They've tried to conquer them with economic force. They've tried to conquer them with brainwashing, with religion, with all sorts of things. And it just doesn't work very well. It doesn't work perfectly. But what would you do to make sure that the entire world gets on the bandwagon at the same time? Global alien invasion.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard that from Carol, and I understand where she gets it from. I don't think it's going to be – some people may perceive it that – I don't think that it's going to be presented by that. They are going to present themselves as the saviors of mankind at a time when we need it most. Whatever the crisis may be, they're going to be here to solve our problems, and that will unify people. I know Reagan had said yes. He said if there was an alien threat, we would all unite. I don't know that's true, but – that was – yeah, you're right. That was one of the contingency plans that the Luciferians have. The other one is to crash our economy, poison the environment, make us feel and introduce AI, you know, even though it's always been there. It's always been – nanotechnology and AI has been – it's really ancient. That's part of – I told you, the mad scientists in them. They can't help it. That's what they do. They don't create stuff. They just manipulate it. So they are going to manipulate us badly with this PR campaign that they have returned, even though they never left. They're going to come out of the closet under the false pretense that they're here to save us and guide us into this wonderful utopian future. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It's all going to be smoke and mirrors.
I don't think so. I think they go it like false flag. I mean, let's say they do it. They'll play the aliens as the enemy and humanity as the resistance, right? And they'll unite everybody, and then you're going to create a world government, and that way, all countries are gone. Okay, the ability to do this and coordinate it globally would have to. Well, HAARP, for example, the HAARP machine, you can blow stuff up with space-based weapons to simulate a tank. You can project signals at a particular hertz frequency so that people will hear the explosions in their heads or whatever. Anything you want, really, is up for grabs, because when you think about classified technology, you're talking about stuff that you literally can't make up. Right? Such crazy stuff. And this is another thing that I've been thinking about, the UFO phenomenon. What if, for a long time, there's simply just been classified aircraft, right? That have better tech that anybody's really been exposed to, that defy the laws of gravity because they're able to manipulate it.
Yeah, but all that technology that's been farmed to us by the so-called aliens. That's all part of the Luciferian agenda. Again, to gradually bring us up to speed. And not all of us, by the way. It's only the select few. That's what the Illuminati is all about. They're the intermediaries that Lucifer created in order to control us, the lower level servants. You know, he's got the high level servants, mid level and lower level servants. And this technology that's being, you know, I hear what you're saying, but there's other scenarios that could play out here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying we're not going to be attacked.
Well,
for sure they're going to.
Let me just bring it back, because whenever anybody talks about something, there's usually three things that can come out of it. Information, yeah. Misinformation, and disinformation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we've got to like incorporate so many different possibilities. Like, I was thinking about this. When the human race, you know, eventually develops the technology and goes public with it or whatever, and we go colonize planets, etc. I was thinking about when I was 13 years old in science class, when we opened a science book for the first time, and it had a picture of a virus, and it looked like a little spaceship. And I was just thinking, whoa. The psychopaths are in charge of humanity, right? They're acting like a virus, and they're infecting the planet. And what does a virus do after it consumes all the resources and destroys the cell that it infects? It spreads to the other cells that are nearby,
right?
What if these entities have turned the human race into a weaponized galaxy-conquering pathogen sort of thing to extract resources and pain and suffering throughout the galaxy?
That's true. That's a very good thought. I mean, it's an accurate understanding of the problem. It, like all pathogens, it spreads. You know, and this is what I see on people here, you know, in families. They're typically, if there's suicide in one generation, it passes on to the next, or psychopathic behavior. People can catch this infection if they do nothing to prevent or protect themselves or be aware of, you know, when they are being infected or affected by it. You have to do something to prevent that, protect yourself, clean your, they call them unclean spirits for a reason. in the Bible. But anyway, the future for us is going to be played out in ways that most people don't understand. You and I've talked about it. We research it. We study it. We analyze it. So we have a better understanding of what could or what is happening to us and why. The hard part, I think the reason we're having this discussion is to prepare people so that as these things start to unfold, that they're not as easily fooled or manipulated into participating in this nonsense. Now, I don't feel that resistance is futile at all, but I just think that you have to be practical about it. You know, you just can't just go out there and, like you said, start a riot against these psychopaths. That isn't going to solve the problem. But at the same time, we don't want to be completely under their spell and being fooled by them into believing their bullshit.
Fortune favors two people, the bold and the prepared.
All right. So this is what we're trying to do here. We don't know exactly how it's all going to play out. But I do feel that as they they've created so many fake boogeymen just among us that when they do come out of the closet and say we are the gods returned, and we're here to help. No, that's not it at all. They're only helping themselves. So, are they going to continue for us to fight? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, look, there's a reason why the good guys are not allowed here. It's because they're not in charge. It's the bad guys. They're the ones that have been blocking any of the divine beings that want to come here and intervene. That is considered a complete violation. That's an act of war. When you cross over the line like that, that's, you know, you are a target. They are a target. So as we move out, I have a feeling that they will not only throw things at us to keep us on our toes that are all false flags. Like they constantly do this to provoke us, distract us, divide us, manipulate. But they're also have a lot of people convinced, like I told you through the writings of Sitchin, that the beings that are actually divine are portrayed as evil. Right. And it worked really well. There's stupid paperbacks that Sitchin wrote, got paid very handsomely for. He didn't even know he was a pawn. He really believed that stuff. And that's why it sold very well. You know, he's just this innocent little guy, you know, the glasses and he just
This is why I can never get on board with somebody who believes, absolutely believes what they're saying and thinking and that kind of thing, and is not prepared to accept another possibility. I think it was Churchill who said that a fanatic is somebody who redoubles his efforts as soon as he loses sight of his goal.
Well, I hope you don't feel that I'm just simply pushing an agenda here, because
No. Quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing. When people are going and operating on belief alone, right, and they're unwilling to tolerate the spectrum, right?
Right.
There's right, there's wrong, and then there's something in the middle that's called the understanding. You know, and there's a road towards that from the wrong side of misunderstanding.
Right.
Yeah, right. And it's a problem because as soon as you say something that someone inherently disagrees with or whatever, what they do mentally is they'll tarnish with a brush everything else that you've ever said or done or whatever. You know, even if they've been listening to you for years and they say, you're great, you're this, that, and the other, as soon as you say one thing that they don't like, as soon as you insult one thing that they hold really personally as part of their psyche, you are a parasitical, toxic scumbag. And
and it's because they feel threatened, Vinny. I know this from experience. You're threatening their paradigm, and that's the only thing they've got to hold on to. It's a bit of a cage mentally that they're in, and that's their comfort zone. Now, if you're making them uncomfortable by questioning that reality, yeah, of course they're going to become defensive and think that you're offending them or basically threatening them.
Now, is an important realization. You know why? Because it doesn't matter if there's a fake alien invasion or a fake Return of the Gods or a fake false flag or anything like that, because the people like us who'd be around, you know, yelling out and screaming in the streets that it's all a lie, the fanaticism would be such at the time that to merely speak out or to say anything would be to risk your life.
Yeah, I know that. And look, it's not just risk your life from people. I have been attacked more than once by these parasites. I survived it in 1985, but it came at me again with a vengeance in early 1990 because I was looking into androids and abductions, and I actually was laying in bed. I was very ill one day, and I was laying in bed with bronchitis, and I was thinking to myself, I am not sorry for wanting to know the truth. I have every right to know. It's my planet. It's my future. I feel I need to know what's going on, right, to make an informed decision about how to proceed with my life, such as it is or was. And you know, my motivation at that point was really high because of what had happened to me in 1985. That the unintended consequence of all that was I could never go back to living a normal life. I didn't see things the same after that. I knew that there was an unseen force or forces that were influencing us covertly, and I took it really personal. And so I was trying to figure it out. And the truth movement wasn't as big back in 1985 through 1990. I mean, it was starting to gather steam, really. So by 1990, like I said, I was having this awareness. I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking, I am not sorry for wanting to know the truth. The phone rings. I pick it up. And there was – what I heard was a mechanical voice speaking in a language I've never heard. And you should know I've been to 58 countries now. At the time it was 57, but I've been to 57 countries. I've heard a lot of languages. Never heard this language before. Clearly it was not a human voice. It was something artificial. In the background, I heard a lot of machinery. And actually, I remember when I picked up the phone, there was no greeting. This thing was already in midstream of consciousness, whatever it was. It sounded like a male voice, by the way, but it was not, it didn't sound human to me at all. Somewhat robotic, well articulated. Okay. I study voice and speech inflection. I don't know why. I guess as a musician, you pick it up. You listen really clearly. You have to listen to all the voices in an orchestra I did that for a while as a violinist. Anyway, the point is, I'm listening to this guy intently, or whatever this thing is intently. I'm trying to understand, what are they saying? All I could intuit was, whoever they are, whatever they're saying, they're pissed off. That much was clear. They were angry. You can understand when somebody's upset in any language, right?
Oh yeah, right? Man. One time I was walking down the street and I saw this Arab guy yelling out,
Yeah. So the bottom line is, I'm listening, and I said, the only thing I could think to say to this, whatever this entity was on the phone, I said, I'm sorry. And then I hung up. It was still talking too. Whatever it was doing, and I hung up. It was still, I just said, I'm sorry. Hung up. And then I said, wait a minute. Those bastards just got me to reverse myself. I just was thinking I'm not sorry. They got me to say I am sorry. How did they do that? And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Okay. If what I suspect is true, we're screwed. That's what I thought is, and I think, I'm sorry to say this, I'd lost hope. I was 30 years old. I was very ill. Everything that I'd seen and felt, and at that point, I just thought there was no hope for humanity. I didn't think there was anybody, any group that was actually championing the human cause. They weren't dealing with it, as far as I could tell, right? You can't talk about that at the time. I just didn't see a way out of this. So I decided to kill myself. That's not something that people do because lightly, okay? It's not a snap decision, at least it wasn't in my case. But I was convinced that that was the only way out for me. I had just completely lost hope, man. And so I imagined that I was going to go to Malibu up to the cliffs there, back very near where I had that encounter with Enki, Lucifer. And I was just going to jump off a cliff and be done with it. Not long after I made that decision, a friend of mine called me up and said, hey, do you want to go camping? Well, I'm going up to this place. And I said, are there any cliffs there? He's like, yeah. Okay, let's go. It wasn't Malibu, but it was similar. It was something similar. Okay, there's cliffs. I'm going to jump off. Fine. I didn't tell my buddy, and that would have really sucked for him, because it's like I would have just been gone. He wouldn't know what I just been missing for all he knows. But that was my intention. We go up to this place. It's right on the San Andreas Fault. It's a national monument called Pinnacles National Monument. We go up there, get there at night. I'm laying on the ground. There's snow on the ground, and I'm like dying of bronchitis. I didn't care at that point. I was going to kill myself in the morning, unbeknownst to my friend. So I'm laying there, and I did fall asleep, but I woke up in my dream. Okay, that's what it felt like. But you know what? A lucid dream, right? I woke up at the spot I was sleeping on in my dream. That's what it felt like. And when I sat up and I looked around, I saw there was a woman off in the distance underneath a tree by some rocks. So I walked over there, however you want to do this in the dream. I found my way to her. I was attracted to her because she seemed very unusual. She had on some sort of gown, like Roman type of. It was an unusual, it wasn't normal Western dress. Okay. Whatever it was like a one piece gown. Not something you buy off the rack at Nordstrom or whatever. That's not designer brand. It was just bizarre, like something out of place, out of time. I looked at her and she did not give me a name. I don't even remember her face, which is typical for this entity. As I found out later, she says to me, if you decide to stay, we will do everything we can to help you. It's like, what? I don't even know this person, and they're offering me help. And not only offering me help, it's they're giving me hope. Because that was part of my big dilemma at that point, Vinny. I was like, who is going to champion our cause? Who is really taking on these bad guys? I know some people say, well, just pray to Jesus. Okay, fine. I'm sorry, but that wasn't working out. Okay. I tried that. It wasn't working for me. So whatever. As a matter of fact, I was born again on a street corner shortly before this happened. I just, some guy come out of the blue. He's like, hey, Jesus saves, you know, you want your name in the book of life? Just repeat after me. I'm like, yeah, sure. What could it hurt? Right. Well, okay. You know, hey, maybe I'm not a good enough Christian, whatever. It didn't work for me. And I ended up in the situation where I was going to kill myself. Anyway, this lady says to me, or goddess, I guess you would call her, says, we will do everything we can to help you if you decide to stay. It seemed like very benevolent, benign kind of thing. And I don't remember saying anything to her, but I must have been thinking, well, if that's the case, then of course, yeah, okay, I'll stay. If I know there's some help, if you're giving me some hope that for the future, then yeah, that's kind of solving my immediate problem. Because I can't do this alone. And so the next thing she did, she held out her hand, and in her hand was this crystal. The most unusual crystal I've ever seen. And I couldn't identify it until recently. Anyway, she holds out her hand. She says, place your hand on the crystal. Doesn't tell me why. But I put my hand on this crystal and whoa, it was like the ultimate gag, I guess. You know how those buzzers, you shake somebody's hand and you give them a zap? This was like jump-starting a car, man. It was like the most incredible amount of energy came rushing through my body when I did that. I just came like just full tilt. Jolted me, and the next thing I knew, I was waking up, literally waking up, you know, was no longer in the dream state. And I didn't feel like killing myself. Those feelings of, you know, committing suicide were gone. And I began to recover my health too, because I think a lot of the reason I was, my, you know, when you're too stressed out, you lose your immune system. So as I, you know, my, and whatever that thing she did to me, I'm pretty sure that helped kickstart me back into health on many levels. There was a price to all that, though. I could have said no, right? And I think I would have ended up in a very bad place, actually. I think I would have been even really under the control of the Archons. As a result, though, I think she represents the benevolent ones. The rebels, I guess, from our perspective, she's a rebel.
Did you ever wonder if she was actually you?
No.
That you gave yourself absolutely hope? Not.
No, I don't think so at all. I'll tell you who I think it was in literature. I have to spell it because otherwise the NSA is going to be all down on our asses. It's ISIS. She is a goddess from Orion. She is the queen of Orion's granddaughter. She was abducted and raped by Enki, Lucifer, and brought here to start up his part, to help take over this world and start doing the genetic experiments to help build up his empire, his subjects. She at some point rebelled and found her way to freedom. So she couldn't go back to the Orion Empire because she had been, you know, in league with Lucifer, Enki. And she broke away from Enki, so she's sort of like literally in a neutral zone. She's a free agent at the time, at this time. I don't think she's still welcome in either camp, but she's still here, and whoever she's in league with, obviously, I know we're running out of time here. I'll get to the point. The reason that they wanted me to stay, and by the way, they kept their word. My life did improve. They did help me. The price in return was that I do the work that I'm doing now. I've been helping them because they can't walk among us like this. You know what I mean? They can't just come out and say, oh, I'm a divine goddess from what? Yeah, all right. First of all, people wouldn't believe it. Second of all, they would immediately be attacked by the dark forces. And they know that. So, again, like I said, on a game of chess, you've got two opposing forces. Most of us are just pawns. But what I realized, Vinny, in all of this is to try and sum it up.
Just remember, you know, we have a couple more minutes. So.
Yeah, okay. So, but in the game of chess, the most powerful piece on the board, for people who don't know, is a queen. The only queen we know of on this world is the Queen of England. There's others, but the Queen of Orion is a really very powerful player in all of this. And she's been vilified. In fact, Lucifer is not only a psychopath, he's also a misogynist. He hates women, and he really hates his mother. So, and he's very pissed off at his former goddess wife that I just mentioned. So,
I thought you were describing Donald Trump there for a second, but keep going.
Look, the bottom line is that we're all under the influence to some degree. It's various levels, but in the game of chess, again, if a pawn is able to transit to the other side of the board, it then becomes a resurrected piece, right? That has more power and influence over the game. That's why they wanted me to stay. And they helped me navigate all the way to the other side of the board, to the enemy camp. Once I made it there, I became a different player altogether and started to affect the outcome of the game by writing articles, books, and doing this public speaking and answering personal emails. I do take the time to, you probably wouldn't be shocked, but people in this movement, when I share with them occasionally some of the email that I get and the way that I'm responding, offering assistance, giving hope. Here's the thing. I got to be more clear about this. I was given hope so that I could pay it forward and give hope to others, not based on faith, not a false hope, all right, based on blind faith. I'm trying to present factual evidence for people and help them put it into context so they can have some clarity so that they can act with authority about their own destiny, their own future, instead of being just a pawn that's being manipulated both sides. I'm helping them see, look, this is the matrix we're in. You have the ability to move yourself around. You realize that there's two opposing forces. You don't have to sign up with either. Or we're being manipulated by both, but you know what I mean? So I'm showing them these things. We are doing this work, Vinny, not for ourselves, but for the entire human family.
Yeah. Well, knowledge and hope isn't really that great if you just keep it to yourself and you don't share it, you know?
Right. Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the things I realized early on in this. They would give me access to any kind of information that I wanted or needed if I promised to share it with others and not censor it or alter it to serve a personal agenda. In that way, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I found...
In that way, you and me are pretty freaking alike. God damn, the amount of shit that I go through from all the different people that I have on the show about all these different topics, you know. There's some people who are just like, oh, I'm only just, they're just getting over the Federal Reserve as a fake private entity, and then you start talking about intergalactic entities and they're like, I can't process that. I can't process that. I'm going to turn off the news for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you very much, Vinny. And I know that it's making a difference, that we are making a difference.
I need to actually tell you this before I forget.
Okay.
It's coincidental that you're coming on now, because I just found out from a link that somebody shared on Facebook of our previous interview that got shared on somebody else's YouTube channel that it ganked it from me and uploaded it. And the one on my channel, 11,000 views. The one that the other guy uploaded to his channel, 200,000 plus views, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. You know, you remember that roundtable that we had with Eve Logan and all of that? It was that one.
That was Cameron Day, myself, and Eve. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And yourself.
Yeah. So it occurred to me that I'm a lot more influential, or rather, when we do something, it actually influences a lot more people than we think, right? Because
right.
that one's
right.
been up there for since we did that interview all those years ago, up until
right.
now, influencing people unbeknownst, right? So
right.
you don't have any idea, ladies and gentlemen, how much influence just talking about something, recording the conversation, and having it up for other people to view can really have, until you start seeing the results of it many years later,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's about patience. Got to stay the course here. Why do you think I keep doing all this stuff for people for free? You know, I'm going out to a fluoride meeting tonight to film it for them and all that kind of jazz. It's going to be really fun.
Very good.
All right. Robert, do you have a website there, brother?
Yes, unicusmagazine.com. It's spelled UNICUS magazine.com. Lots of free information there for anybody who's interested.
Yeah, not to be confused with Unic Magazine, which has a lot less balls. Thank you very thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com for your listening comfort. And we shall see you again sometime. Thank you very much for those who donate and support the show. And check out the archives on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and American Freedom Radio.